Your mind can be one of your most valuable assets or your biggest liability. And unfortunately, this piece of hardware that we're walking around with, a lot of its sort of natural tendencies aren't always the most helpful or adaptive things for us. And this is one of those times that if you let your mind just rampantly wire itself, you'll run into problems. Not always, but there are some pretty predictable problems that you'll run into.
You're listening to episode 190 of the Building Psychological Strength podcast, where we uncover the information, tools, and techniques to turn our mind into our most valuable asset.
The courage to face fears with persistence.
Being able to be present enough in this moment to choose my response thoughtfully.
We have the strength to bend to life stressors, to bend to adversity without snapping, without breaking.
There are only six things that contribute to our quality of life, and they are all experiences.
In every moment, we are deciding who we want to be and how we want to live our lives.
Noticing what your brain is doing and then being able to make choices.
Mobilize the things that we know lift us up.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Building Psychological Strength podcast. My name is April Seifert and I'm your host. And before we even get into our topic today, I want to pause for a second because we have a couple of free resources that we released very recently. And before we get into anything, I want to make sure that you all know about these two free resources. So the first one, as you know, kids are going back to school, and that means a lot of different things for families, depending upon how old your kids are, where you live, your comfort level, and your own personal circumstances. Your kids may be going to school from home virtually. They may be at school full time. It may be a hybrid model or something else. You might be trying to help them with school, work alongside them. I mean, any number of competing responsibilities are likely on your plate. And we heard from a number of people that they were frankly and very understandably freaking out about this because it's a lot of responsibility for one person to shoulder, or two people, depending upon what your house looks like, to shoulder. It's a lot of competing demands. And in situations like these, one of the things that's been floating around in my head, and we should maybe do a whole episode on this as well, is, you know, people like to say, hey, when life hands you lemons, you should just make lemonade. And I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you just have to eat the lemon. Like sometimes you just are home. Ashley's on this episode too. That's who you hear giggling. Hi. I mean, sometimes you do. You just have to eat the lemon because there's no way for many families to just quit their jobs and homeschool their kids full time. And in a lot of cases, kids can't go back to school full time. So we're in this position that is just not easy and ideal for a lot of people. And these are just the lemons we need to eat. But there are outside circumstances, our mindset and the way that we react in situations where we're feeling overwhelmed, where we're feeling like we're failing, where we're feeling like we're worrying about the past or the future too much. In those situations, there are some very specific techniques that you can use to bring yourself back to calm and balance and sort of rational thinking when you're feeling like your mind is kind of going out of control. So that's what we put together for you. It's a free set of resources. They're between 3 and 6 minutes long. They're meant to be used in the moment when you're feeling really overwhelmed or worried or perfectionistic. And you can get immediate access to those three free interventions if you go to peakmindpsychology.com/support. You can sign up right there. You'll get immediate access to them and you can use them in the moment when you're feeling overwhelmed and like you need a little bit of support. So while you're there for everybody else, we're here for you. And we want to make sure that you know about that resource. So that's number one. Number two, this episode is coming out on a Wednesday, which means it's a long form episode. So it's going to be greater than 20 minutes long. We're going to dive deep into a topic, which is a super fun one today. we're going to dive into a topic. We're going to flesh it out a little bit. Sometimes we have interviews on Wednesdays, but the point is Wednesdays are a longer form day. We know not everybody has the time and the capacity in their week to dive into an episode of that length. But we also know that most people want to do something active to better their life experience, to sort of elevate the experience that you're having day to day. So we've started releasing in the last few weeks something we're calling Monday Mindset Minute. These are 60 to 90 second episodes. They're very short. We cut right to the chase and we talk about something you can do that week in order to experiment and see if it helps you out either psychologically. Sometimes there's life design stuff in there. This is all, techniques and tools that you can use to better your life experience. And we'll give you one of those every Monday, 7 a.m. Central. And it's 60 to 90 seconds long, those episodes. So if you don't have time for our longer form episodes, these might be a really great resource for you in order to build psychological strength, but do it on a very quick timeline. And they're all really easy things to implement as well. So you'll want to check those out. If you find value in them, we'd love a rating or a review. If you think other people would find value in it, we'd love it if you'd share it. You know, all the nice content type things that we ask you to do. So wanted to make sure you guys knew about those two resources. We're really excited about both of them. On to this episode. Okay, so today we want to dive into a topic that gets talked about a lot. The topic we're going to talk about today is neuroplasticity. And what we found is that this is a really hot topic out there in psych literature, in the self-help space, personal development space. People talk about it all the time. But they really give one side of the coin. They talk about sort of half of the neuroplasticity game. And we'll flesh that out a little bit. But what we want to do with this episode is really give you a well-rounded view of what neuroplasticity is and the ways in which it impacts you in your life. And so I'm excited that Ashley is back so we can have a quick conversation today about this important topic and give you a little bit more of a holistic view on what it is.
I'm excited to talk about this because you hear a lot about people saying rewire your brain or retrain your brain. And that's really, they're talking about harnessing the power of neuroplasticity. So just to, it's okay if you're not familiar with that term at all. What it means is it just refers to the brain's ability to reorganize itself. And there's this, it's a really old idea that's been debunked for a long time, but sometimes these ideas just kind of weave their way into the popular culture. So this idea that your personality is set by the age of 5, or that you're born with all the brain cells, which are called neurons, that you're going to have, and that's it, that the rest of your body can regenerate and create new cells, but your brain can't. And those are just false. What we know is that the brain is continually creating and birthing new neurons. So you get new brain cells developing throughout your life. And what's even more important is that these nerve cells communicate with each other. And think of it like networks, like neural networks, the circuitry in your brain. And it's constantly changing, whether you want it to or not. And intentionally or not, and that's what we're going to get into. But to know that the brain is constantly reorganizing itself throughout your life. And that's, I think, a powerful thing and a really humbling thing to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love what you hit on around saying it's constantly doing it for better or worse, intentionally or not. Something that you all in our community hear us say all the time is that your mind can be one of your most valuable assets or your biggest liability. And unfortunately, this piece of hardware that we're walking around with, a lot of its sort of natural tendencies aren't always the most helpful or adaptive things for us. And this is one of those times that if you let your mind just rampantly wire itself, you'll run into problems. Not always, but there are some pretty predictable problems that you'll run into. So we're going to start by reviewing the side of neuroplasticity just really quickly that you've probably heard about in other, other areas of content. So we'll talk about kind of the good side of neuroplasticity, and then we're going to get into this more well-rounded view of it and talk about ways that are concrete that you will probably relate to where it's gone awry a little bit in your life, and then what you can do to be a little bit more intentional to steer, basically use your brain's natural processes, but steer them in a more helpful direction.
Well, I think that's really the crux of it, right? When you understand how the system works, you can hack the system, and you can then be really intentional about using neuroplasticity to your advantage. And that's why, like, jumping right into some of the good sides of it, that's why you hear so much about like gratitude practices and positive thinking, which is a whole other topic. But some of these practices, because we are trying to build those pathways in our brain so that we can notice the good stuff. There's a saying that I think really captures it, and it's neurons that fire together, wire together. And what that means is that when you have these nerve cells that light up, or when they're activated, so they fire, that's how nerve cells work, then they wire together, meaning it becomes a stronger and stronger network. All that really means is mental habits get stronger and stronger. They become very self-reinforcing. So it's like a spiral that just kind of feeds itself.
Well, and if you think about why, right, the fire together, wire together, why? Again, the very common things that in our community you'll hear us say is that one of our brain's biggest jobs, our mind's biggest jobs, are to help us move through life, make sense of everything, and do it without dying every day. So like keep us alive, keep us healthy, keep us getting through our day while expending the least amount of energy possible. So just like a quick brain thing, we've got two sides of sort of the think cognitive energy coin. We've got the side that we're more deliberate about. It's a slower process. We have to work harder. If I told you what's 13 plus 27, you'd have to think a little bit to do it, right? That side of our cognitive capacity is very limited. And we're constantly being bombarded with situations and people and information and decisions and circumstances that tax that system. So what our mind does is it says, okay, anything that I can automate, anything that I can just get off of my plate and push down to an automatic, we call this below the surface of the water. We use this iceberg example. Anything that I can get off my plate and push below the surface of the water so it just happens involuntarily, I'm going to do that because I need to keep this limited resource of intentional working memory, I need to keep it available. So the more times things fire together, the more times you see this person in that situation and this person in that same situation and this person in that same situation. Or another example I love to use, the more times you drive to your job going in the same route, same route, same route, you've probably experienced it where you start driving not to go to your job, but maybe you take the first exit and you find yourself driving to your job when that's not where you meant to go. It's because an automatic habit or an automatic process kicked in, something that your brain, your mind took from being more deliberate, pushed it below the surface and said, we're going to automate this thing. So things that fire together, wire together, because our mind is saying, I'm noticing a pattern, let's make it automatic. I don't want to have to deal with this anymore. I'm going to keep my random access memory or my working memory available. So there's a really great biological, just adaptive reason why this happens, but it's a fundamental process of your mind that you need to understand.
Right. Well, and I think it's such an important one because I'm kind of jumping over to like another angle on this is when people say like, well, this is just the way I am. Or earlier today, I got the question about strengths and how your lower strengths, so the ones that you are weaker in. This person was asking me, they're like, I was told that's just how it is. I just have to accept it and learn to live with it. And I wholeheartedly disagreed because of this neuroplasticity. We can, to a large extent, train our brain to work a little bit differently. And I love to compare it to posture. When I was growing up, I was a ballet dancer, and I had a stickler of a teacher, and I had pristine posture, straight spine, long neck, beautiful open shoulders. And then I got a desk job, right? I sit all day and in a cushy chair, and over time that natural, my default was a very straight back, started to slouch a little bit. I didn't even notice. Over time, now I notice that's my default. And it's not even when I'm sitting, I catch myself in pictures and my shoulders are a little forward. That is a metaphor for neuroplasticity. Mm-hmm. It just becomes a habit, and then it starts to kind of feed itself. Now, the cool thing is I'm aware of that habit, and I'm making efforts to correct it, to train my posture again. And we can train our minds to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. This is where you hear the exciting stuff about compassion, about resiliency, about gratitude, about growth mindset. We can build these connections. Mm-hmm. We're not stuck. And it's amazing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I love that you brought in growth mindset, because that's the one that people, gratitude and growth mindset, I think are the two areas where we hear about this all the time.
Right.
Like if you have a gratitude practice in the morning and the evening, or maybe both, your mind will naturally start looking for things to be grateful for throughout the day. And that's true. It's absolutely true. Growth mindset, if you adopt, the quickest way to talk about it is to adopt this mindset of yet. If you're not good at something, I'm not good at it yet. Or I tried this and I'm, you know, I really didn't do well. Well, yet, you know, you can work on things. You can get better at them. Most people aren't naturally gifted at things that they eventually excel at. It takes a lot of work.
Right.
So we hear a lot about this sort of positive side, like be inspired. Look at all of these amazing things your mind can do. And all of it is true. But what we don't hear about is the flip side of the coin. And that's where I want to focus this next part of our conversation, because I wholeheartedly agree. Do all of those things that we just said. Focus on growing, you know, some of your weaker strengths. Focus on practicing gratitude. Focus on, you know, finding ways that you can grow as a person and develop new skills and abilities. Change your concept of who you are as a person to be more helpful and better for you. All of that, definitely. But there's a flip side to it that I want to unpack a little bit, because if you're not equally aware of it, some of those efforts that you're doing on the good side can be thwarted a bit or diluted a bit, because your mind is in the background doing its normal thing, and you're not realizing that it's also creating, I don't want to call them bad wirings, but just call them less helpful wirings.
Yeah. Well, and then again, if we leave it to its own devices, those get strengthened, right? Fire together, wire together. Or you can think about it like going over, you know, those speed bumps, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if this speed bump's been there for a long time, there are grooves worn in it where the car keeps going over and over and over, and that becomes the default, the natural way. And you don't have to follow the grooves. It just takes some effort to bypass them and go a different route. When we kind of think about how this can go against you, I guess my thoughts fall in two categories, April. I'd love to hear where yours go. I think of it in terms of just like the day-to-day input we're taking in and what kind of toll that can take on our mental habits, which then affects our quality of life. And because I specialize in anxiety disorders, I also tend to think about that in particular, and the associations that happen there, and then where that can go.
Absolutely. I love both of those. I think we should dive into both of those and where they fall. This is funny, but Ashley and I just back history. We met each other in graduate school, and we both went to the University of Nebraska. Now, there are certain graduate programs that are more famous than others. And one of the most famous ones at the University of Nebraska is their law and psychology program. And something that I learned from our law psych colleagues that has stuck with me, because it's actually really useful in just
this was from the law side of their training, but it's really useful in the psychology side of their training is this. This pertains to, I'm going to get weird for a second. I promise it's related. This pertains to sexual harassment in the workplace. Okay. And for something to be deemed sexual harassment, it has to be, and this is the part that's going to be related to us, severe and or pervasive. So it has to happen. It can happen once, but it has to be really severe.
I see where you're going.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And or, but for our case, it could just be or. Uh-huh. It has to happen, maybe it's less severe, but it happens repeatedly over time.
Uh-huh.
That is a beautiful way of understanding how our brain forms wirings. Think about something like food aversion. Most people have a food, maybe it's an alcoholic beverage,
right,
that you cannot even think about without feeling a little bit of disgust. Maybe you got food poisoning once. Maybe you indulged a bit too much one evening and weren't feeling the greatest the next day. Food aversion takes one trial, and it's very severe.
Mm-hmm.
Highly charged, and I'm not going to name them because we haven't done the appropriate just precautions to set this episode up. But you can imagine situations that would happen to someone that are incredibly emotionally severe that lead to long repercussions. And you're like, it only happened one time. It only takes one.
Well, I like that way of thinking about it as emotionally charged, because I tend to think it in terms of anxiety, because that's what I see. But any strong emotion, because even when we just think about memory, right, we have all these different types of memory. And most people think of memory as like the, what did I have for breakfast? And I can recall like a picture of it, or like
facts,
a movie.
Check.
Right. That stuff fades, but emotional memory doesn't. And it's very closely tied in. It belongs in our limbic system, which is like an older part of our brain, the reptile brain, if you've heard that, the amygdala, if you are familiar at all with the fight or flight response, or the anxiety world, it doesn't forget. And so really, really salient or powerful, emotionally charged things, boom, encoded in our memory. Mm-hmm. And that emotional part of our brain isn't gonna forget it. And then what it starts to do is make associations. It's powerful, but not sophisticated, as we like to say. And what happens is we start to associate things. So let's say if we stick with food aversion as a relatively safe one, maybe it was, oh, okay, I threw up taquitos once in high school. I don't know why, I just did. Do you know how long it took me to eat it? But it wasn't just taquitos, because then it was like tortillas and Mexican food if it was in a crispy shell, right? So like, because those things were associated with that experience. So all I'm saying is that things kind of get wrapped into this web, or they get connected, they get wired together. And so perhaps you have a really charged event. It also makes me think of like, if you had a really like bad relationship experience, and then you meet someone who wears the same cologne, or has a similar mannerism, pronounces a specific word the same way, and you get this like, feeling, it's because it's been associated.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens outside of our control. And if you don't know better, then you're going to keep, I don't know, kind of trusting your mind and saying, well, that reminds me of that, so I'm going to stay away from it.
And that's the same process that we talked about, or one of the processes that occurs because of this hardware that we have that we're walking around with, that's trying to be adaptive, trying to keep us alive. Mm-hmm. Clearly, if you got that sick, or you were that scared, or it was that terrible, or it was that whatever, clearly this is something for us to avoid.
Right.
I mean, think about this in, you know, terms of being thousands and thousands of years ago, right? Like that would be something you'd want to avoid because clearly it's out to kill you. So right. Our mind sets up these associations that are like, get away, get away, get away, avoid, avoid, avoid.
Yeah.
When now I just like had some bad taquitos. Maybe I won't get them from the gas station next time, or wherever you bought them.
Fair. No, but that makes sense. I think of like, you know, being around the water hole, like, you know, if we go with ancient caveman days, you're around the watering hole and there's a tiger, right? So then that's emotionally charged. If you survive that, then your mind is looking for other signals of that danger. Like maybe it's a specific bush or water or things like that. So when you encounter those in other situations, you're going to have that same response. And if you act on it, so you run away, you escape, you're confirming it and building it. So that's that feeding the cycle kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important because we don't realize what impact our chosen behaviors, even yes. though sometimes those behaviors happen involuntarily and we don't realize, in a lot of cases, we can build the ability to choose them, even though in the moment, maybe you feel like you can't. And this is coming from somebody who had panic attacks after postpartum depression. Like, man, I get you. You have no idea. We'll unpack that again someday. I've told the story once, but it would be fun to tell it with Ashley because then she could say like, and that's what you were experiencing and like name all these things in a really scientific way. But yeah. I get it that sometimes it feels involuntary, but the behavior that we do as a result, it's a feedback loop that tells our body, okay, you saw that bush, you saw that like rustling of the leaves next to water. And the last time that happened, it was a tiger and we freaked out and you ran away. So we must have been right. And it strengthens the wiring between those two things. So now we've got severely emotionally charged events. We've got your behavior that is a feedback loop. And then the other side of this that we kind of mentioned with my weird sexual harassment analog was there are some times where it's not severe, but it's pervasive. It happens consistently over and over and over. Mm-hmm. We are in that climate right now. Right. I'm just going to say to this audience, how much of the news are you watching right now? How much of your day is spent either looking at Facebook, watching the news, I don't care what station it is, watching people argue. Mm-hmm. That's not severe. It's not like somebody's bursting into your house with a gun and making you afraid, but it's like a low-grade ick, a low-grade right. friction that's happening on a consistent basis called election season in the United States. And we have an episode planned for this, which we'll dive into that in more detail. But the point I'm making is, it's easy to look at one isolated situation and be like, oh, that wasn't that bad. But if it's happening to you over and over and over, sexual harassment or yucky feelings, right. those add up to be a really harsh, difficult thing for people to handle. And you can develop these same wirings
absolutely
in that regard.
Well, and let's take it even more like a day-to-day kind of thing as I think about you know, this pervasive and how it can shape the way our brain works, right? So for you parents out there, be careful, be careful, be careful. No kiddo, be careful. Like when you're saying that, like that's actually a really helpful thing sometimes, mm-hmm. right? But if it's a very consistent, pervasive message, what that little brain is learning and that little person is to be on the lookout for danger, to be careful. So that's going to start to shape how they think about things, what they pay attention to. And so this is where I think neuroplasticity, it can be helpful or not so helpful, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing if we've got a boss who's constantly critical, then that's going to train us to start to look at our own work, right? If I've got a boss who every time I turn in a report or an email comes back and says, yeah, I need you to be more careful. You need to proofread better. Here are your corrections. What is that going to do? That's going to start to make me vigilant. I'm going to start to read. I'm going to start to look for the imperfections and the mistakes. And that can carry over away from my written stuff and into my life in general.
Yeah. And what we have as adults mm-hmm. over kids, and I love to talk about this as well, because all of this makes so much sense if you just think about like what's the hardware you're walking around with in your head. Like you're just dealing with this piece of hardware that has some basic, we talk about in Peak Mind all the time. Like if people just knew sort of like five things about how their brain worked, we would all be in a better position. And this is one of them. We're talking about so many of those basic things here. But one of them too, is that we've got this old reptilian brain and it is absolutely essential for our survival. Mm-hmm. It freaks out rapidly. It forms associations, it helps keep things automatic and keeps us moving through the world without having to deliberate over everything. It also is ready to go out of the gate when a healthy human baby is born. Day one, pretty much, you have this system that is ready to start forming associations, ready to start evaluating the world. And that's from an adaptive standpoint. We need that baby to survive. So it's learning really rapidly, like making these associations like crazy. You know what that baby doesn't have? Any prefrontal cortex, like no ability to deliberate. Neither does that 5-year-old, 10-year-old, 15-year-old, that's why they're so crazy, 20-year-old. No, it's not until our early to mid 20s that we have that prefrontal cortex ability to say, yeah, I know we're freaking out right now, but let's rationally think about this and change the way that our mindset might be operating in this moment. So when you think about, this is one of those like sides of the neuroplasticity coin people don't say, I get it. It's easy to look at a kid and be like, no, but that comment or, you know, that set of comments aren't that big of a deal. And I don't want to give parents a complex here. Like I'm a parent too. I get it. But it's more like the messages your kids receive from TV shows, the things that are constantly, constantly, you know, told to them in the same manner, consistently, those things wire more easily in a child because they don't have the capability to deliberate and sort of mentally bat them away or refute them. They don't have that active
filters.
Yeah. Right? They don't have those yet.
Sort through. Yeah.
Right. And so one of the things that is sort of the, I don't want to say bad side, but side of neuroplasticity people don't talk about is that. The other piece is, again, thinking about even as an adult, your own information diet during the day, what you're feeding your mind during the day
matters.
We talked early on about your gratitude practice, right? Let's say you're killing it. You're getting up every morning. You're writing down 10, 20, 30 things you're grateful for. I don't care how good your practice is. You're killing it. You're doing it every day. And then you're watching people argue on the news. It's diluting that out. You're watching an argument happen and no, it's not severe. You're not in the argument, but your brain, the part of it that doesn't understand the difference between other people arguing and you, now we're getting into mirror neurons a little bit, but it's looking at that and saying, oh God, they're arguing. We must be under some kind of threat. Are we threatened? Is it a big threat? Oh God. Oh God, there's those people again. They're back. They're arguing again. Huh. That's why abusive households are so difficult for people. And you're putting yourself in a position where your diet that you're taking in is basically working in the opposite direction of this gratitude practice that you're working so hard to cultivate.
Right. Well, I really talk to people that input matters, right? Just like what I put into my mouth and chew, if I'm eating nothing but gummy bears and potato chips, that's a very different thing than if I'm eating leafy greens and whole grains. It's the same thing. Input matters in our minds, right? So I find myself experimenting with that just, you know, day to day when I have different inputs. What do I feel like as a person? What does that do to the quality of my thoughts, right? So I'm not anti-social media, but I'm getting pretty close to it. I notice that when I'm not taking that in, my productivity is better, my mood is better, my thoughts are different. So what you think about is what you will think about, becomes this self-fulfilling habit. And that's something that we can control, not completely. And I don't want to say bury your head and don't know what's going on, but just be intentional about what you're taking in, what you're spending your time, your intentional thought on.
The medium, if you have, like, I'm a news person too. I feel exposed as a person if I don't know what's going on in the world. I feel like I need to know what are the major things that are happening. I find that a medium that is less valenced, less sort of saturated, like reading, is a lot less impactful than watching something. That multimedia experience is a lot more.
Yeah. Well, and this just with the neuroplasticity angle, that just matters. What we focus on, it's going to become the habit. Do we want the grooves to be worn in this way or not? Mm-hmm. We're doing the gratitude, but then we're complaining all of the time, right? And because of our brain and not, like you said, April, the hardware we're walking around with, there are some things that also come more naturally. Negativity comes much more naturally. Mm-hmm. We have to work to balance it out.
Threat seeking.
Yeah, we notice threats more. So you're going to notice the wrestling bush with the tiger so much more than the tasty berries.
Or the little like flowers that are next to it, right? Like they're not going to kill you. We don't care about them.
Exactly. So knowing that, we can use this to our advantage and we can be intentional about some of the downsides that mm-hmm. might happen. Mm-hmm. I also want to throw out that when it comes to neuroplasticity, you know, I think so much of the time when people think about their minds, they're used to kind of framing it in this position of like analytical thinking or intelligence, where it's like, oh, like a light bulb going off, like, oh, I got it. Cool. I learned it. Now it's different. But we need to be thinking about the mind and the brain more from like a fitness standpoint. You can't say like, oh, I went to the gym, light bulb, I am buff. No, it's a practice that you continue to do to continue to shape how your body goes, and you can build muscle or it's going to atrophy. And that's how it is with these neural connections too. It's use it or lose it. So if we're not using them, it's going to wither and it's going to be growing or I don't know what, thriving or wilting, depending on what it is we're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's important to know.
Well, and again, it's an adaptive thing. We only have so much capacity. Why would you hold on to capabilities and connections that could be used for something else? It's sort of like your brain's natural KonMari process of getting rid of the stuff that's just not working for it anymore. Not necessarily the sparks joy. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it doesn't necessarily. It's like, are you going to kill me?
Right. Is this so what you're doing? Is this the habit?
Yeah. So as we're rounding this out, I want to leave people with some actionable tips. And one of the things that I always advocate people do before you start actively making changes is spend a little bit of time just becoming aware. We've talked about, and we'll just start with two important inputs. There's two big important inputs that we've talked about here. One is your information diet. What are you reading, watching, consuming? What do the people around you, what information are you getting there? What messages about people like you are you getting? Just pay attention to that aspect of your daily environment, and that's a broad thing, social mm-hmm. media, physical environment, all of that. So that's one input. The other input is pay attention to, and I'm not asking you to change anything yet, but pay attention to your own behavior when you're feeling happy and really charged positive emotions, and pay attention to your own behavior when you're feeling sort of negatively charged, yucky, anxious, anger, all of those emotions. Just watch how you naturally react, or what is your knee-jerk reaction in those mm-hmm. situations. Just start becoming aware of what that is, because those two important inputs are ones that help make those wirings that you might not have been aware happen.
Yeah.
So far.
Oh man. So, yeah. I'll leave it at that, because there's a lot to say. I wish we could have these conversations like with people, like, what did you notice? I just started to pay attention. What did you notice? Because that's such an important thing to pay attention to.
I know. And I think once you become aware of it, you naturally see like, wow, I never really paid attention that every single day I'm getting a dose of an hour of people arguing. Mm-hmm. Like, that can't be good. And, you know, so much of what we talk about in life design, it's not like making some big sweeping changes, like throwing your whole life in the dumpster and lighting it on fire, right? Like, that's not what we're talking about. But once you've noticed, and once you've kind of taken the lay of the land of how am I behaving and what's my informational input or my stimulus input in my day-to-day life, start tweaking and experimenting. Read mm-hmm. the news for 2 weeks and just see. I know for me, it was a way faster than I ever expected meaningful change when I stopped watching the news and I began reading the news just for the sake of being informed. I don't want you to analyze for me. I don't want you to argue for me. Just tell me what happened. Mm-hmm. That was a very meaningful shift. And it's one that you can do right now in the landscape that we're in. Start experimenting and see how you feel. Just put down like a quick little rating system on a notebook. You don't need anything fancy for this, but like, here's the experiment I'm running. 1 to 10, how did I feel today in domains that are related to that experiment? Just pay attention and then keep tweaking things over time. You know, mm-hmm. I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, these Monday mindset minutes that we're doing, that's basically what those are. They are little experiments you can try throughout the week. So if you need some inspiration, check out those episodes. But really, like,
get aware of what you're doing in your life and just like tweak a few things and see if it works to move you in a direction that's more helpful.
Well, and I also like to think about it too, in terms of the experimenting is more on the mental habit side, right? We think, and then we may or may not be able to get rid of thoughts, but we can certainly start to notice things like notice the what ifs, and then try to shift your attention away from rumination. Rumination is just chewing on negative thoughts that might be dwelling in the past. It might be worrying about the future, but it's chewing on negative thoughts. And it's a very natural process. Our minds like to do it, but if you can start to catch it, oh, okay, it's either going to be continue, like strengthen that, make that a stronger habit, or interrupt the habit. I'm not going to ruminate on this. I'm going to find something to be grateful for. I like to use gratitude in those moments. Or I'm going to shift and I'm going to find five things that are the color yellow right now, just to give a different process. So we're interrupting that rumination. We're going to hijack that neuroplasticity and we're going to build new habits.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I hope folks listening to this, that this was a more well-rounded view of neuroplasticity than what you've heard in the past. Again, like it is an incredibly powerful process that our mind has. Holy cow, can you harness it to make some incredibly meaningful changes? Your habits fall under this umbrella. You know, you're just even the lens through which you experience life falls under this umbrella. So many important things, but that inadvertent, involuntary piece of it that flies under the radar, that's the part that we wanted to expose today, because all of the effort that you're putting in to improve yourself and improve your life experience, I don't want to see it being diluted because some of these other involuntary or unintentional side effects are happening. You should get the full credit of all the work that you're doing. And I want you to feel the full meaning and the full value of those changes that you're making.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. I hope this was helpful. If you found it interesting, please share it with somebody else who might also find it interesting. And we will see you back next week for another long form podcast episode on Wednesday, and Monday for another Monday Mindset Minute. Thanks so much for joining us.
Tell me if this sounds like you. I'll finally be happy. I'll finally take a breath. I'll finally find some balance when I get through this crazy season of life. We hear that from so many people, and the fact is, many times, life is just a crazy season. All of it. Between your career, your family, your community obligations, attempting to have a social life, and trying to fit in self-care, whatever that is, we end up feeling stretched so thin. Now, I want to challenge you to think about things differently. Rather than focusing on external circumstances and their impact on your happiness, your sense of ease and balance, and your mental well-being, what if instead you focused on something you can actually control? What if you built the psychological strength that would allow you to thrive through life when things are going well and even when they're not? What if you could feel less scattered, more in control, less anxious, more peaceful and joyful? We want that for you too. That's why we are so beyond excited to announce the beta release of our signature psych strength building program, Ascend. This program combines evidence-based tools, techniques, and information from the fields of psychology and life design to focus on three important modules: you, your mind, and your life. Learn your unique combination of strengths, values, and identity, and the ways in which they interact and lead you to approach life in your unique way. Dig into your mind to understand the conscious and subconscious processes that act as a lens through which you experience life. And finally, harness the power of life design to begin to steer your life into alignment with who you uniquely are. Enrollment in this beta round of Ascend is open now, and because it's our beta round, the price is astonishingly low. So if you have ever had even a suspicion that you could benefit from building psychological strength through a guided, science-backed experience, now is the time. Visit www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend for more information and to join us Friends, it is time to build psychological strength. It's time to live by design and not by default. It is time to live like your life depends on it, because it does. Join us in Ascend by visiting www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend. That's www.peakmindpsychology.com/ascend. It's a simple fact that nearly everyone in the world could benefit from building psychological strength, but not everyone will put in the time and effort to do so. But today you did. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Building Psychological Strength. Now, if you're interested in building the mental toughness, confidence, and resilience you need to thrive through life's ups and downs, visit us at www.peakmindpsychology.com. Also, if there's someone in your life who could benefit from this episode, please share it with them. And if you yourself found this episode valuable, meaning if you took away even one insight that you can use to build psychological strength in your own life, we would so appreciate it if you would drop us a rating and a review on iTunes. The thing is, the more ratings and reviews we have, the easier it is to get this powerful and important content out to the people who need to hear it. Remember, your mind can be your most valuable asset or your biggest liability, and you get to choose. So choose wisely, my friend, and I'll see you next time on Building Psychological Strength.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.